Did you ever get to the point where you just didn't know what to do? You just, for whatever reason, something that was going on in your life just made you sit back and go, now what? I don't know where to turn. I don't know what step to take next. I don't know where to go. When we get to this point, and it's not if, but when we get to this point, there are a lot of things that we often turn to. Our human nature wants us to find the answer. So we turn to lots of different things. We might turn to self-help books. The library and bookstore is full of those. Everybody's got the answer. We might come across some philosophy, new or old, that makes us think that's the answer. That's where we go. As human beings, sometimes we turn to addictions. It might be drugs or alcohol or some of the addictions that we normally think of, but it might be something else. It might be books. It might be TV. It might be entertainment. It might be any number of things that we turn to try to get away from whatever the situation is. Or we might just choose seclusion. We might just decide that the best thing for us to do is nothing. And we pull away from everyone. God, in His wisdom, knew that all of us would at some point get to this point in our lives. We would at some time be there. And so He left us instructions. He left us instructions in what to do when we're dealing with a frustrating situation and we don't know what to do. So when we don't know what to do, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. We had a little bit of the beginning of that chapter read to us. I'm going to focus on a small section starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So trust in the Lord with all your might. When we don't know what to do, this might be the very first thing we have to do. Trust in the Lord with all our might. In Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So the first step in this process of trusting in God is not being overly worried. Not allowing the things that are going on in our life to take such control over our lives that we can't do anything else. Let God know what's going on. Prayer is the way that we allow God to know what's going on in our lives. Now, God's all-knowing. He already knows what's going on in our lives, but He wants us to verbalize it to Him. He wants us to reach out to Him. So we need to let Him know what's going on. And in that process, we have to be thankful. Sometimes when we're getting to the point where we don't know what to do, we can get so wrapped up in the woe is me, so wrapped up in the negative things that are happening in our life, the issues that are at hand, that we can lose sight of the things that God has already done for us. Both in the past and right then, there is always something that we can be thankful for. And when we do those things, it allows the peace of God to come over us. It allows the peace of God to come into our lives and settle us. Putting our problems in the hands of the creator of the world is something that sounds fairly simple. But just because it sounds simple doesn't mean it's easy. Sometimes that can be very difficult. Back in Proverbs, the next thing we're told is to lean not on our own understanding. We can think pretty highly of the things that we think we know. But if we go to Romans chapter 7, Paul writes a little something, and it's one of those things that when you read it, it can get kind of confusing. But I think in the middle of it is Paul trying to express that leaning on his own understanding wasn't getting him anywhere. Romans chapter 7, I'll start reading in verse 15. Jill had told me that the lights were casting a shadow and I forgot to turn them off. Romans chapter 7, starting with verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Our own understanding, even by Paul's standards, at its best is limited. Paul knew what he was supposed to do, but sometimes he didn't do it. And he knew what he wasn't supposed to do, but sometimes he did it anyway. So Paul is asking this very same question in verse 24. Who is going to save me? How am I going to be delivered from this dilemma, from this problem that I don't know what to do? My own understanding is so limited. His answer is in chapter 7, verse 25, and in chapter 8, verse 1. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. His answer is related to what we talked about earlier. Serving the Spirit and not the flesh. When I don't know what to do, I have to turn to God and I have to trust Him. And part of that trusting is leaning on His knowledge, leaning on His understanding, and not assuming that I can figure it all out. The next step in Proverbs is, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. James talks about this. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I'll start reading in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Sometimes we don't know what to do because our priorities get messed up. We start to think something is really important when in reality it's not that important. Or we start to think that something's not that important when in reality it is very important. Oftentimes our priorities get messed up because we are trying to live two lives. We are trying to serve two masters. That can't happen. I mean, it can happen technically, but it never works. It never leads to good. You know, the reality of in all your ways acknowledge Him is in the phrase in all your ways. That's why our priorities get messed up. In all our ways acknowledge Him. All our ways. In how I spend my time. In how I spend my money. In my relationship with my family, in my relationship with my neighbors, in my relationship with my coworkers, in my attitude and how well I try to do my job, in how I'm driving, in my attitude toward those that are around me when I'm driving, all my ways acknowledge Him. See, if we only serve Him in part of our ways, James says we're a double-minded man. So we either acknowledge Him or we're unstable. I don't like to be called unstable. But James says, I either acknowledge Him, I either honor Him, or I am unstable. One of the ways that I can try to acknowledge Him is to fear Him. To fear Him. And part of fearing Him is departing from evil. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 holds a key to avoiding temptation. And a lot of times... Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I did write it down right, just didn't turn right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, a lot of times we don't know what to do because we're facing some sort of a temptation or a trial and we can't figure it out. We're stuck. We just can't figure out what to do next. Well, Paul explains to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he explains to us how to deal with this. In verse 12, the very first thing he says is, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That sounds like lean not on your own understanding to me. That sounds like Paul is saying, you know, whatever you think is probably not going to help. So it's time to turn to somebody else. So verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. You know, this idea of just departing from evil is another thing that's very simple. It's a simple concept, but it's not always so easy to do. You know, one of the things that happens is, why are we surprised when we're tempted? God has told us we're going to be tempted. Jesus told His apostles, wait till you see what happens when I'm not here. We're going to be tempted. But we can take comfort in the fact that God offers us a measure of protection if we are His. Some of those protections are that He tells us we're not going to be tempted beyond what we're able to handle. A lot of times when we throw up our hands and say, I don't know what to do next, we think it's something we can't handle. But guess what? If you're enduring it right now, God is saying you can handle this. Not because you're special, not because you're super smart, not because you're incredibly strong, but because you have Him on your side. With Him, you're going to be able to handle this. Whatever it is. Whatever the temptation, whatever the struggle, whatever the issue that's facing you. He says, you're going to be able to handle it because I won't let you be able to, I won't let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And he also says, I will give you a way of escape. There will be a way out. There will be a way to depart from evil. If you're like me, the problem is a lot of times you're looking for these, in this situation, you're looking for these big double doors that are flashing an exit sign that says, leave here. But that's not what God promises us. He promises us there will be a way out. He doesn't promise it will be easy or obvious. Sometimes it might be difficult. Sometimes it might be a little window that you have to break. And you have to slither through to get away from whatever the situation is. And you, on the other side, you will have gotten out of the situation, but you might be sore. You might be hurt. You might be scarred. But you're out. You got away. God promises that there will be a way out. Not sometimes, but always. There will always be a way to get away from the temptation. There will always be a way to deal with the situation. God will always provide a way. So are you at the point where you don't know what to do? My suggestion is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will show you the way. He will direct your paths. Fear God and depart from evil. Take the way out that God provides. Find the answer that God is giving you. We must internalize these four truths in order to have guidance and direction in our lives at all times, but especially in times of difficulty or temptation. Everything we are to do in our lives is dependent on the decisions that we make. The decisions that we choose to make. We are responsible for those decisions. Nobody else is. We must be willing to accept both the rewards and the consequences of those decisions. It makes sense that when I'm in a difficult situation or you're in a difficult situation, it makes sense that we would want all the help we can get. It makes sense to me that we would want to turn to the Creator of the world, the Giver of life, the wisest individual that we can turn to in order to get assistance with the situation. When we don't know what to do, we must turn to God for direction. Follow Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. You know, all those passages that we read, except for Proverbs, all those other passages that we looked at that gave us direction and gave us understanding, those suggestions and those instructions were given to Christians, to individuals that had surrendered their own will to God so that He could guide and direct them. If you haven't done that yet, if you have not surrendered your will to God, then you don't have any of those promises or protections. I'm sorry. But you, if you don't know what to do, are not going to find the answers. Unless you submit yourself to God. God has those answers. Submitting to Him will give you those promises that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians. That you will not be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. That you will be given a way of escape. Those promises are available to you if you surrender your will to God. As we talked about earlier this morning, surrendering your spirit to His spirit, submitting your spirit to His spirit, that allows Him to instruct you. That allows Him to guide you. That allows Him to teach you in a way that He can't if you don't. And once you have that instruction, then your soul, your will, your decision-making process can be changed and altered so that it's in line with the will and the Spirit of God. And once that happens, then your body will reflect those decisions. Your actions in this world will reflect that submission to Him. If you have already submitted to Him in baptism and you've lost your way, you've given in to temptations, or you've walked away from what you know to be the truth, God hasn't left you. God's still there. He's waiting on you to return to Him. You're the one that made the decision to walk away from God. But He's just waiting to take you back. He's waiting on you to repent of your sins and to confess those sins and to come back to Him. To rededicate yourself to Him and submit your will once again. Submit your spirit to His. If you need to do either of those, if you need to for the first time submit your spirit to Him, if you need to resubmit yourself to Him through confession and repentance, then we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.